You know, one of my greatest joys in life right now, this season of my life, is seeing my grandchildren grow up. It's moving way too fast for my taste, but it brings me and my wife great joy to see our grandchildren grow up. We've been through this once before with our children, and it doesn't lose any significance a second time around. In fact, it's probably a little sweeter this time around. And I know that we often say, oh, I wish our kids wouldn't grow up. I wish it would stay small and cute all the time. In fact, Wednesday night, I showed our Bible study group. We meet on Wednesday nights, and you're invited. Everybody's invited. We meet in the chapel on Wednesday nights. And I showed them this picture. Look at this picture of three little Rockies a few years ago. That's Karis on the left, Karis and Piper. Our granddaughters are not here today. They're with their other grandparents. And that's Landon in the middle and Aiden. And weren't they cute? Yeah, that was, they were probably, I don't know, a year and a half maybe. I don't know how old they were. But they grow up, don't they? Those are the littlest Rockies. And now they're 9 and 10 years old. So we say, oh, they were so cute. I wish they would just stay small. But the reality is that if a child doesn't grow, that's not so cute anymore, right? In fact, it's devastating if a person, if a child doesn't grow. And if a Christian doesn't grow, that's disastrous too. Because God wants us as His children, as His followers, as His beloved, He wants us to grow to spiritual maturity. And He wants us to grow not just to spiritual maturity, but He wants us to grow in every way. He wants us to grow spiritually, certainly, but He wants us to grow personally. He wants our character to grow. He wants us to grow emotionally. He wants us to grow intellectually. So I want to talk to you today about growing every day in every way. That's the title of my message today, growing every day in every way. And so today I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4:11. If you use a YouVersion Bible app, you'll find our notes there. I didn't double check. I hope they're there. but we put them up on the YouVersion Bible app. Just go to click the three dots that say more, and then on events, and you should find all our notes there. Or you just look it up yourself in your Bible. And so I'm going to be reading from Ephesians 4:11. So I'm going to ask you all to look that up. We're not going to have the slides on the screen for you to follow up here. So look it up in your Bibles. If you don't have one, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians 4:11-15. In the New Living Translation, it reads like this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, and here's a verse that I want to focus on. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. So I want to talk to you about growing every day in every way. Paul writes that Jesus is our model. He says, growing in every way more and more like Christ. So we have a model for how we should grow. What does our growth include? What does it mean to grow like Christ? In Luke 2:52, we read that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Now, this verse here is when after Jesus had been debating with the scholars in the temple, when his parents lost him. Remember when they lost him, they went to Jerusalem, they went to the temple, and then they left Jerusalem and they didn't realize Jesus had stayed behind. He was 12 years old, already smart enough to be debating, to be discussing with the scholars, with these men who had studied and had memorized the entire Torah, five books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, I should say. And yet Jesus was right there, just being able to discuss with them. And yet, even though he was at that level already at the age of 12, we still read immediately after that, that he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature physically, and he grew in favor with God and all the people. Now, let's just be honest today. How many of you know there are areas that you can grow, and then there are areas that you can't grow in? I mean, there's some things in which the growth factor is beyond your control. One of those areas is height. Now, I don't know how many of you are like me, but I wish I were a little taller, just because, right? Anybody else? Just I want to see a show of hands. Anybody else wish you were a little taller? Yeah, Bethany's way up there. Yeah, I wish I were. I mean, I would be happy with 5'10", 6 foot would be great. You know, I would love that to be able to say 6 foot, right? Now, if I could control that, I would have controlled it. Because didn't Jesus say, and I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but didn't Jesus say, which of you by taking thought can add height, can add to your height? That's what he says, right? By taking thought. You mean if I take thought, if I think about it, I can grow? It would be great if it were that easily. Of course, taking thought is the old King James. It really means, you know, which of you by worrying can add to your height. But here's the thing about it. I can't control my height. There's some other things I can't control. I can't control my DNA. I run into people regularly who think I'm one of my brothers. I can't control that. You know, we look alike. We have the same DNA. So there are things that I can't control, but there is growth that I can control, and that is that I can control growing in my relationship with God. I can control this growing in knowing Him. I can grow in knowing what He says and knowing what He wants me to do. I can control growing personally, growing myself personally in my character, my ability to take on life's hardships. I can control that. I can decide I'm gonna grow in this area. I can grow grit. I can grow determination. I can grow fortitude. I had to grow those things. I don't naturally, you know, like to embrace the pain in my life, but I can grow, and I think I have grown in those areas. I can grow in my ability to relate to people who are different than me. But here's the thing we've got to remember, that growth is intentional. This kind of growth I'm talking about is intentional. In the areas that we can grow, growth is intentional. You have to choose to grow. You have to be intentional. And here's the reason we have to choose it. Here's the reason we have to be intentional. It's because growth is hard. Growth is hard. It's just hard. It's inconvenient. It can be painful. So who wants to sign up for that, right? If we don't determine to grow, we'll never grow, because it's not automatic, because it's hard. It's hard on us. So because growth is intentional and inconvenient, I mean, who has time to, you know, to do the things that we need to grow? You know, it's inconvenient. But because growth is hard, that means that the first sign of growth is often being uncomfortable. So I want to tell you today, first of all, that to grow, I want to encourage you to embrace discomfort as an opportunity for growth. Embrace discomfort as an opportunity for growth. Have you heard of growing pains? Children get growing pains at certain age when they're really young, and then a little bit later when they're about 8 through 10. I read up on this week. The children get growing pains in their legs, and for some reason more girls than boys According to the Mayo Clinic, more girls than boys get growing pains, right? And my leg hurts. Oh, you're just growing. Those are growing pains. It's because you're growing. Because sometimes growth is uncomfortable, right? Each of us here today has a place in which everything is familiar, everything is comfortable. We all have a place in which we feel safe and we feel secure and we feel at ease. Psychologists call this a psychological state. We have a psychological state that is familiar to us, and we're comfortable, we're safe, we're at ease. It's a place where there is low stress. It's a place where there's little anxiety because we're not being challenged. We're not being tested beyond our abilities and beyond our capabilities, and so we're comfortable there. You know what this place is called? This place is called the comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone, and we love our comfort zone. How many of you love your comfort zone? Like, yeah, that's where I want to be. I don't, you know, don't get me out of my comfort zone. But our comfort zone can be dangerous and can be harmful to our growth. Our comfort zone can become a stagnation zone. It can become a trap that will lead to an unfulfilled life, that will lead to a life of regret and a life of disappointment. So here's what psychologists tell us about the comfort zone. The comfort zone is based on two fears: the fear of rejection and the fear of failure. Right? The fear of rejection and the fear of failure. The fear of rejection: do you need someone to applaud you? Do you always need somebody to come pat you on the back and say, hey, good job? Does everybody need to like you? Does everybody have to acknowledge what you posted online and give you a like? And does everybody have to mention you in some positive way? Well, what if I do something and people don't like it? I better not try it. That's a fear of rejection. And it's also the fear of failure. What if I do something and it doesn't work and everybody will know? Well, first of all, probably nobody else will know. Or if they do know, they may not care. You know, but we're always thinking, oh, it makes me look bad. It makes me look like I failed. Everybody will know. My image will be shattered and I'll never recover. So many of us, we want to live in a place where nobody will ever say anything bad about us, and a place where we won't do anything that fails. We all have a comfort zone. But if you're going to grow every day in every way, you have to push back against those fears. I mean, do I really need everybody to applaud me? Do I really need people to say good job to me every time I do something? Do I really need everybody to like everything I do? Do I really need that? Do I really need that everything I do is going to work? Or could I possibly learn from my failures, from some of my failures? So if you're going to grow, you've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Embrace the discomfort as an opportunity to grow. My most productive times of growth have been my most uncomfortable times and even my most painful times in just various areas of my life. My early years as a school teacher were very hard on me. Very hard. First couple of years. After the second year, I almost quit. I started out teaching in the Corpus area, a really good school district. And it was my first year, fresh out of college. And my supervisor, I was teaching at the middle school. She was a high school choir director. Quite honestly, she was just not very helpful to me. Very demanding, but didn't help. I was basically on my own. And so after that first year, through a series of circumstances, somebody offered me a job at a different school district, also in the Corpus area. And so I went to this other school, and I had another first year. Like, because if those of you teachers, you know, the first year is always rough, but if you change schools, it's like having another first year, especially for me as a very young teacher. And that was even harder, that second first year that I had at a different school district. I had two ladies that were at the high school. Again, I was teaching middle school choir, junior high choir there at the high school, and they were over me. They were my supervisors. They were my mentors. They unlike the first job, they helped me a lot. But they were very demanding, very demanding. And it was so hard on me. My stomach was in knots every day when I'd go to school. I hated to go. I felt like I can't do this. I just wasn't, middle school kids, middle school boys. It's like, now I know I'd rather teach high school, which I ended up doing. But it was rough. I wanted to quit, and I would pray, God, help me. I don't know. What am I going to do? I dreaded the mornings, just getting up and going to work. In fact, one time I said to my wife, I said, we need to talk. We need to talk. And so I took a day off, and we met for lunch. I stayed home, but she went to her job. But then we met for lunch. I think we met at Red Lobster or something in Corpus and someplace. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm dying out here. This is hard. And she just listened. She didn't offer any counsel. And I just needed somebody to listen. I had been keeping all this from her, but I finally told her, this is how hard it is. And so somehow I made it through that year, that first year in the second school. And it was really difficult because one of the ladies at the high school retired. And so there was one remaining lady. The first lady wasn't replaced. And so she had a conversation with me, and it was a difficult conversation. And I knew it was coming. It was a difficult conversation. I've never said this to anybody, but here's what she said to me. She said, really, if it were up to me, I wouldn't rehire you, but I don't have a choice. And I was like, oh, I knew, so I just felt really bad, really bad. What I didn't realize at the time was that I was growing. So I stuck around the second year, and I was like, okay, just roll up my sleeves and get to work and learn and go to conferences and accept the training and stuff. And so at the end of the second year, I did resign to come over here. That's another story I won't get into. But at the end of the second year, and that second year went a lot better. It was still hard, but it went a lot better. And that lady, my supervisor, sat down with me. She said, I saw so much growth in you this year. I can see where you're going. I saw you do things that you hadn't been able to do in the classroom and performances and stuff. And she said, I think you're headed in the right direction. And it made me feel good, I mean, she didn't have to tell me that, but she was helpful. She was hard, but she was helpful. But I'm just saying that was a period of growth. When I came to San Angelo, started teaching here, I would hearken back to what I had learned over there. Oh, yeah, this works. And oh, yeah, this is great. And it's like, now I still had other difficult times, and I have other difficult times in other areas. As a minister, I've gone through some times where I'm like, I don't want to go through this, God. But it was part of my growth, part of me growing. I mentioned, God helps us grow in fortitude, in grit. I needed to learn that. I went through some times and have gone through some times, and I'm sure we'll continue to go through some times where I just, I need to embrace this. And I think God was teaching me grit, determination, fortitude. Don't give up. Embrace this opportunity. So we need to decide, okay, am I going to, shrivel up into a corner and say, I can't do this? Or am I going to embrace this problem, this pain, this discomfort as an opportunity for growth? You need to decide this. Here's what you need to decide. Is where you are right now the best that you want to be? Is that as good as you want it to get? You need to ask yourself, is this the best I will ever be right here, right now? Is this the best I'm going to be? Is this the best dad I'm ever going to be? This is it. I'm not going to get any better than that. Is this the best spouse, the best husband, the best wife that you're going to be? Is this the best as far as you're going to get? Because if it is, I have good news. You don't have to do anything else. You've arrived. Congratulations. You've gotten to be the best that you're going to be, whatever role, area, job, whatever. Is this the best Christian I'm going to be? Yeah, I guess this is as good as I'm going to get. Well, good. You've arrived. You're already the best spouse, the best employee, the best person, the best Christian. You're there. You don't have to do one more thing because you've achieved it. But really, is that where you want to stay? Can you really say, I'm satisfied? Right? That's your comfort zone, right? If this is your best, then you can stop right there. No more effort is required. No more energy is required. No more deep thinking is required. No pushing forward is required. Nothing is required for you to stay where you are right now. Nothing. Status quo. But I What I know is that becoming better, growing as a person, growing emotionally, intellectually, growing spiritually, doesn't happen automatically. I have to decide. I have to embrace the discomfort. See, just because you're older doesn't mean you've grown. Being married longer doesn't mean that you're better. Being married longer just means that you have a higher endurance quality. You put up with a lot from each other, right? That's great. That's a good quality, but it doesn't necessarily mean you've gotten better if you decided, yeah, I'm where I want to be. So embrace the discomfort as an opportunity for growth. Now, secondly, don't let your circumstances define you. Don't let your circumstances define you. People say, well, you just don't understand all the stuff that I have to deal with at my job. You don't understand my family. You don't understand the circumstances that I'm facing. Well, here's what I know. We talked about Jesus, that Jesus is our model. Here's what he modeled for us in Isaiah 53:2. This is that chapter of the suffering servant, right? This is the chapter that describes Jesus as a suffering servant. And here's what it says. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. Everything's negative right here, right? But look at this. He grew up like a root in dry ground. Now, here's what I can tell you. Plants don't grow where there's no moisture. And yet Jesus grew where you're not supposed to grow in dry ground. The Greek word for dry here means parched. Parched like West Texas when it hasn't rained, you know, in a long time. And the ground is just parched. The ground is parched. And then here's a green, tender green growth. You can grow where you're not supposed to grow like Jesus. You can grow in places that everybody says, oh, you can't grow anything there. Or you're in a situation, you'll never advance there. If you decide you want to grow, you can grow there. Life doesn't have to be perfect for you to grow. Circumstances don't have to be perfect. If you want to grow, you can decide to grow. You can grow wherever you are. Don't allow your circumstances to define you. Jesus grew as a plant where there was no water, and you can grow in circumstances that don't seem to allow for growth. Again, well, you just don't understand the environment I'm in, the job I'm in. Oh, if you knew my family. Oh, my family. There's something else. No. You got to decide, okay, it's a decision. I got to be intentional. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's painful. I know it's uncomfortable. But if I'm going to grow, I've got to get out of my comfort zone. So we usually hear, right, get out of your comfort zone. Which means I've got to decide that this is not the best that I am going to be. I've got to decide this is where I am now. It's great. But you know what? I don't want to be like this all my life. I don't want to be like this the rest of my life. I want to be better. So don't let your environment define you. But the Bible keeps pushing us forward into this growth matrix. So let's look at something else that we learned from Scripture. And that is that we need to learn to let go of the things that you like but no longer need. Let go of the things you like but no longer need. Growth is the ability to let go of things we like but we don't need anymore. Growth is letting go of things. Growth is saying goodbye to things. Here's the way that Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. When I grew up, he says, I put away, I said goodbye to childish things. Things. I put them away because I grew. I no longer, he's saying, I no longer speak and think and reason as a child. So I put away those things that were childish. And how many times do we find ourselves, you know, thinking the exact same way, reasoning the same way that we did 20, 25, 30 years ago, we've never really grown past our thinking back then. There are certain things, there are certain issues that I think about, you know, things in life in general that I think about differently now because, you know, I'm a lot older than I was, you know, back when I was 25, 30. Now here I am, 35 years later. Of course I'm going to think differently. I put away those that way of reasoning, that way of thinking. And that's what we've got to learn to do, to put away things we might still enjoy, but we don't need anymore. What is that thing that you need to say goodbye to in order to move forward, to grow? Move forward for personal growth. What do you need to put away in your life? I mean, maybe for some people, they need to put away the idea that they're always right. You know, they have an opinion about everything, and they need to share their opinion with everyone, and they're always right. You can't tell them. Different. No, I think it's no. Well, no. And, I had people say to me, well, that's your opinion. And I said, well, yeah, it's my opinion. I mean, which opinion are you giving, right? You're giving your opinion, too. We're equal here. But sometimes we don't want to be equal. We want to be right and everybody else wrong. What do you need to let go of? See, maturity is having a thought and not having to say it, right? Immaturity is when every thought comes in your mind, you say it, right? Teachers, I used to tell students that. You don't have to say every thought that comes into your mind. I'm trying to teach you, right? And sometimes I think those are the people that get on Facebook and put every thought that comes in your mind on Facebook, too. Like, I remember those kids in school. You don't have to say every thought that comes into your mind. That's called maturity. You leave that behind, that idea that, I got to say this, you know. Maturity is having a dollar and not having to spend it, right? How many have you heard, this money's burning a hole in my pocket. I better buy something, better spend something. But if you know how to save, you know, you learn how to save, you put away, you put behind those things that you always have to have the best and the latest and the fastest and the, you know, greatest. So Paul said, there are things I put away. I don't do them anymore because I'm not a child anymore. I've grown. Because I grew, he says so clearly, so specifically, because I grew, I've put these things away. Now, there's one more type of growth that we should never do. One more type of growth we should never do. By the way, this is not an exhaustive list. You know that. But and that's this. Refuse to grow stale. Refuse to grow stale. Isn't it interesting how those two words go together in our language? You know, they sound like a paradox. To grow stale? How do you grow stale? If you're stale, then you're not growing, right? I had many years ago, I was teaching here in San Angelo, and I'm teaching music, of course, and at Edison. We're teaching musical terms and stuff. Those of you that had music in school recognize this term. So we're talking about crescendo and decrescendo. And I said, well, the word crescendo means to grow, right? And I said, if you speak Spanish, there were a few Spanish speakers, then you'll recognize the word creciendo, right? Crescendo. So it means the volume gets louder. You grow louder. That's crescendo. I said, the opposite of that is decrescendo. Decrescendo means you grow softer. The sound gets softer. You grow softer. So crescendo, you grow louder. Decrescendo, you grow softer. And one girl, one seventh grade girl said, wait a minute. How can you grow softer? That doesn't make any sense. I said, well, you're right. Because the word grow also means to become, right? So she was very sharp. I said, yeah, we say grow softer just to parallel grow louder. But it just means you become softer. So we say you refuse to grow stale. What does that mean? Become stale. Refuse to become stale. Don't do that kind of growing. Do the other growings, but don't do this kind of growing where you grow stale. Food grows stale, right? Relationships grow stale. Love grows stale. A spiritual life can grow stale. Our lives can grow stale. Our lives can become stale. Refuse to grow stale. Refuse to allow yourself to become stale. 2 Peter 3:18 says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the nature and the character of God. We have to stay fresh and alive in our relationship with God. We've got to say, hey, I'm not going to allow myself to grow stale. I need to have a lively, fresh relationship with God. Now, Peter wrote these words, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter wrote these words as a warning to stay on guard so as not to be led astray by false teachers. So as not to lose our spiritual footing or to secure ourselves. In other words, growth counteracts the attacks of Satan on our lives. Growth counteracts the attacks of Satan on our lives. Sometimes growth feels like Satan's attacking us. Oh, I'm being attacked. And maybe he is. But the answer to that is to grow, because when we grow, that counteracts that attack. It counteracts that attack. The answer to Satan's attacks, the answer to discomfort, the answer to pain is to grow, to determine to grow, to ask the question of God, what instead of why? See, a lot of times when we go through painful situations, we say, God, why am I going through this? God, why did you give me this job? God, why did you give me this wife or husband? Or God, why am I struggling financially? God, why is everything just happening? When it rains, it pours. You know, instead of asking why don't you ask God, what? God, what are you trying to teach me? I'm having trouble at work. What are you trying to teach me, God? What is the lesson? How can I grow from this? In my relationship, what do you want me to learn? How can I become a better spouse? So instead of always asking why, and you can ask why, but get away from that quickly, ask what. Determine to grow, because when we grow, that counteracts Satan's attacks on our lives. Let me just finish with this. The challenge is for us to live in a growth pattern every day, to grow every day in every way. Every day you can learn something personally, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, to live in a growth pattern where we become more and more like Jesus, where we're growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people, growing every day in every way. I spoke earlier about the comfort zone, and I know we often hear the challenge, get out of your comfort zone, step out of your comfort zone, and that's fine, but really, I think we need to see it this way. Rather than getting out of our comfort zone, let's expand our comfort zone. Just expand it, because let's face it, a comfort zone can be good, right? I mean, there are times that I'm in my comfort zone, I'm like, I needed a breather from life. Life is hard. Like, man, I'm dealing with this and that, and like, okay, I'm going to get in my cocoon and I'm going to enjoy this. So, don't get rid of your comfort zone. Just expand it. Become comfortable being uncomfortable in order to grow, because the discomfort will wear off and the growth will remain and continue. So expand your comfort zone. Grow in every way, every day, in every way, to become more like Jesus. So I shared some things with you today that I've never shared because I thought it might be helpful. And because I want us all, as your pastor, I want us all to be growing, to be moving forward. Because life is hard and it's easy to retreat. It's so easy to retreat. Don't do it. You have God on your side. That's His plan. That's His vision. That's His goal for you. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for your presence. Your presence has been with us. As we even started the service, we could feel your presence, your Holy Spirit just tugging on our hearts. And today your word, dear God, I believe has spoken to us. Life is hard. Father, you know that every day we hear prayer requests, people that are hurting, people that are in trouble, people that need healing. Because life is hard. And sometimes we want to retreat. Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we want to get in our little cocoons and say, I'm not going to go out. This is all I'm going to accomplish in my day. This is all I'm going to accomplish in my life, in my marriage, in my job, in my church. But that's not what you desire for us. You desire that we would grow every day in every way to become more and more like Jesus. God, I pray that you would stir that message in our hearts right now. And I pray for those that are hurting, and maybe they're going through something that they're thinking, Lord, if I could give up, if I could check out, I would do it. This is so hard. This is so painful. Lord, we need you to step in and to strengthen us, to help us right now. We turn to you in worship, and we ask you, God, give us your strength. Give us your courage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.